Praise the Lord. Amen. How many times has the Lord, maybe even without us knowing it, revealed his love to us in ways of provision, protection, providing a Savior? Amen. We serve a God that is keenly interested in you and I, and I'm thankful for that. And this morning, I believe the Lord wants to help us and encourage us. What Sister Dirth said is so true in this holiday season. For many, it's a time of joy, a time of thanksgiving, a time of reflection. But for some, it is a hard season. And so I'm praying the Lord would not only encourage us individually this morning, but encourage our church collectively. I'm thankful to be a part of the church. Amen. And more importantly, I'm thankful to be a part of this church. We are not the only ones with a hold on the truth, but we are the ones that God has placed here. And so I'm thankful to be a part of this church and to be a part of a fellowship and body that loves God and that wants to be with him. And this morning I'm going to be preaching on the church. Book of Matthew chapter 16 is going to be our text this morning, and verse 13 is where we will start reading. Matthew 16 and verse 13. I'm going to preach on his church this morning. Now, if any of you, I don't know if you'll notice, but in case you do, I preached out of this chapter two Wednesday nights ago in our youth service about choosing to be a Christian, choosing to be a disciple, but I cannot get away from this passage of Scripture. And so this morning, I want to preach about his church. You know, as individuals, when he changes us, when he makes us new, we take on a new nature, we take on a new lifestyle, but that's as an individual thing. But when we come together under one banner and under one name, as his church. Amen. And I'm thankful for the church. I'm going to borrow something from Brother Larry Thomas. He's the pastor at Spalding Road. And he said something this past year that really impacted my life. And before we read our text, I want to kind of repeat what he said of why I'm thankful to be a part of his church. Amen. I was raised in the church. I got changed in the church. I got saved in church. I got born again. I got a new life given to me in church. I got filled with the Holy Ghost in church. I got sanctified and am still being sanctified in the church. I've got friends out of this church and over all his church that are lifelong friends. Amen. I've got memories of this church that will go with me for the rest of my life. I got married in the church. I met my wife at church. Amen. I dedicated my children in church. Amen. I've watched my friends dedicate their children. Sadly, we've laid to rest some folks that we've loved in church, but I've shouted in church about the hope that we're going to see them again. Hallelujah. Amen. We've talked about revival, but I've seen it in church. Amen. I've seen people come in, amen, that were bound by drugs and alcohol, and God deliver them in church. I've watched folks come in whose lives were wrecked, but by the grace of God, they got changed in church. I'm thankful to be a part of the church. Amen. But more than that, I'm thankful to know the Savior and God that owns the church. Hallelujah. That's the defining difference. Amen. When Brother Thomas was testifying about that, my heart rate started going up a little bit, and I got a little charged out at Southern Ohio campgrounds at the men's advance when he was talking about why he loved the church. Amen. Are you glad to be a part of the church this morning? Amen. I'm not talking about a group activity. I'm not talking about a club. I'm talking about a life force that's driving on, amen, to a goal and a destiny. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. Glory to God. We got to get in the Word this morning. Amen. I just felt like we needed to be reminded about some of the good things going on in the church. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. The book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah the or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Hallelujah. I want to preach on his church this morning. Can we pray for the remainder of this service? Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you changed me. You allowed me to be a part of your kingdom. And Lord, you've planted me in this church, this body. Lord, I love you. I appreciate you. God, I thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for our pastors, God, that lead us. Lord, thank you for our people that are faithful, Father, to serve you. Minister, God, encourage today. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. His church. You know, we go to church. This is Union Pentecostal Church. This building is known as the church. There are a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches within just a 5-mile radius of this church. But in terms of the church that we're talking about the body of believers. The church of Jesus Christ, the extension of the vine. The Bible said that he is the vine and we are the branches. The branches are an example of what the connection is. We are the fulfillment of the body of Christ. We see that when the body bears, or when the vine bears fruit, then that means that there is a flowing going through that system from the roots all the way up to the branches that shows a connection. We are that connection. And I pray that we bear fruit so that the world around us knows that we are connected to the one who gives life, Jesus Christ. He is everything to the church. Now notice here in Matthew that Peter is giving Jesus, amen, his answer to a question that I believe we all must ask ourselves if we claim to be Christians. Who is Jesus? Who is he? What do we believe about him? What do we know about him? Well, any true believer will tell you, number one, he's our Savior and he's our God. He's everything that we live for. He's the answer to all of our life questions, and he's the one that gives hope. But Peter answered him in an answer in a way that had not yet been given for fear of the Jews. Up to this point, Jesus had been ministering. He'd been doing miracles. He had been doing things amongst the country of Israel. But up to this point, there had not been a declaration of his role as the Messiah. At least not publicly by the disciples. And so Jesus is asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, some think that you are basically a reincarnation of John the Baptist, who had already been beheaded. Some think that you're Jeremiah the prophet. Some think you're Isaiah. And then Jesus stops them because they're given all the wrong answers. And up to this point, that's all that the people assumed. And he says, "But who do you say that I am? What's your take on it?" Peter, always being the one to stand up first, says, "I believe you are," amen, "the Son of God." He gives him the answer. He says here, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Basically, what he's saying is, you are Messiah. You are who we've been waiting for. You're who the prophecy is foretold was going to come. And you are what we need. Jesus tells him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." A divine revelation will always precede a changed life.
for an individual to come to God and be changed in the church, there must be a revelation of the divinity of Jesus Christ and his role as the Savior that they need. Peter here is acknowledging, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You're everything that we've been waiting for. If they were a devout Jew, they would have been waiting and looking for the Messiah. And we know this by the response of the crowd after Jesus' death, who still were looking for the Messiah. For they would not believe that Jesus was the answer. Peter acknowledges the divinity of Christ, and he says that he is the Messiah. And then Jesus goes on to give him another revelation. Jesus says, I say unto thee also. He just told him that his Father had revealed this information, this knowledge to him. But then Jesus says, I'm going to reveal something to you also. Your name is Peter, which in the Greek means Petra, a stone, a pebble. But he says, but upon this rock, Petros. Meaning that Jesus was revealing to Peter, yes, you are, amen, known as a stone, but upon this rock, the rock that the psalmist said, he lifted me up also out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock. He would have known that the interpretation there was talking about the God who had come. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He automatically claims ownership of what is about to happen in the world. That there are going to be men and women that God uses to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. And he's going to be the head of it. And he's going to have ownership of it. And he's naming right here to Peter, you called me Messiah and the Son of God. And I'm telling you, you're right. But I've got a work to do and I'm going to use the church to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. We are his church. He owns the church. This building, we're a collective body. We come together from many different walks of life, but we come together under the banner of Jesus Christ. We claim him as our Lord. We invite others to come to also know him. Amen. To join what is the greatest family of all time. We invite folks to come to be changed by him. It is his church, and his church is built upon himself. His church is built upon himself. He is the foundation. Amen. In the epistles, it is described by Paul as being, he said, he is the chief cornerstone. Everything relies upon him in terms of foundation. Peter later said that he was that place that the builders rejected, that cornerstone, but that he is now what is built upon. We are the top of that. We are what is laid upon the foundation, but he is what we rest on. Everything in the church goes through him. A healthy church worships through him. Amen. A healthy church ministers through him. A healthy church glorifies Jesus. A healthy church will lift up the Lord to the lost. Everything should be about Christ. Amen. It is an alarming thing when churches begin to redirect their attention to things that are not of God. I believe in the miraculous. Amen. I believe in the things that God wants to do in his church. But when our attention begins to turn away from Christ at work in our hearts, we have lost focus of what the church is all about. It's Christ at work in the world today, reaching souls so that they will know the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. That's what the church is. His church is built upon himself. Amen. The true church reflects Jesus. It exalts Jesus. Amen. It glorifies Jesus. Amen. The church has a desire to see people brought into the kingdom and souls changed and people helped, because that's what Jesus did. That was his desire. Amen. He went to places people wouldn't go, and he changed people and he touched people's lives that people wouldn't touch. And that should be the reflection that the church has in the world today. Amen. More than just an assembly, more than just a place of worship. It is a reflection of the one that we are built upon. Secondly, his church is alive. Amen. We believe in healing. We believe in salvation. We believe in the miraculous. We believe because Jesus told here, whatsoever things are bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven, according to the church. He told his disciples that by faith they should cast out devils in the name of the Lord. They should take up serpents and it won't harm them. Amen. He gave power to the church. And we believe in the miraculous. And we believe the church is alive because we believe that Jesus is alive. That's the defining difference in the church of Jesus Christ and every faith and every nominal denomination out there that preaches anything else, is that we believe that the same Jesus that walked the earth is alive today. Amen. That he dwells in heaven, but he also dwells in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. We believe the church is alive as a body because the head is alive, Christ. Amen. We believe in the miraculous because Jesus was the healer and is the healer. We believe in salvation because Jesus saved lives before us, and he saved our lives, and we believe that he'll do it again. So we live in a church that is alive. Amen. His church is alive because he has promised us things. Amen. He has promised us that he'd be with us and that he'd never forsake us. He's promised us that he would abide with us as comforter. Amen. As the keeper of our souls, he's promised us these things. Amen. It's a living church. Thirdly, amen, his church is going to prevail against the attacks of the enemy. You know, we cannot forget the basics of Christianity. There is an enemy of our souls and an enemy of the church. You know, I was thinking about all the things that our church has faced within the last few years, and it seems like it's been one attack after the other of sicknesses, of issues in the home, problems at work, you know, things going on that are outside of our control, and it's an attack of the enemy. But I so appreciated several months ago our pastor preached, and I felt like it was our leader just giving a rallying cry about how our church is going to go on. And how that, you know, even though the enemy would like to come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against the enemy. And there are times in the middle of the battle, especially for young people, or it doesn't really matter the age, but sometimes as young people, we feel like this is how it's always going to be. We're never going to get out of this. We're never going to get beyond this attack. We're never going to make it through this battle. But I'm here to remind us this morning that the church of Jesus Christ is going to prevail against the enemy. Amen. He told Peter, upon this rock, upon myself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to thinking about what was the difference. Why didn't he just say that hell would not prevail against it? Because the gates of hell reminds me of an attack. Amen. A moving front. But I'm telling you, the enemy is nothing more than a secondary thought of what God would really like to do. He imitates everything that the Lord does, but he can never duplicate. And so although he would like to advance, the enemy has already been forewarned by God that he has no power over the church. Amen. He would like to attack. He'll like to pick off young people. He'll like to destroy homes. He'll like to mess up lives. But be reminded, church, we are his people, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We're going to make it to heaven. We're going to make it all the way. We're going to see revival come. We're going to see souls saved because he's the head of the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've been facing a lot of stuff, church, but if we'll hold on a little while longer, we're about to see that God has already got our best interest in mind and heart. He is our defense. He is our lawyer. He is everything that we need. He's the one that fights for us. Hold on to Jesus. Don't leave the church. It's not a time to quit. You see, one of the greatest lies the enemy has convinced people with is that when things get hard, it'd be just better off not to go back to church. No, listen, you need to be here. We need you to be here. You know, you make a difference in the body. And I believe this morning the Lord liked to remind some folks that his church is going to win because Jesus is going to win. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, pastor's been preaching to us about the Jesus response. And the way that he's ministered in times past is the way he's going to be ministering to us. But we need to be reminded that because we're under attack, amen, that means Jesus is under attack. But he is not going to lose. All right? The Lord is going to win. He's already won the victory on the cross. So this is merely just a battle, amen, that the enemy already knows he's going to lose. Stay with Jesus. Don't leave him. Amen. Don't depart from him. Hold on to him. He loves you. He wants you to be in this church. You need to be in this church. We need to be in this church because we're going to make it if we stay in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give in. Young people, listen, it's time for revival amongst our youth group. Amen. Our church is in need of revival, but may it begin in us. It is time to seek the Lord because the enemy is attacking, because the enemy is fighting. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We will not stumble or fall or faint if we will hold onto the hand of God. He will never leave us or forsake us. So we as the church might as well never leave or forsake him. Hallelujah. His church is going to go on. I want to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Music, would you come this morning? Glory to God. Can we lift our hands and worship the Lord? Amen. I'm glad to be a part of your church, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I love you, Jesus. God, I'm thankful for you, for the hope of heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've got a role to play this morning. We are a part of the church. But as his body, amen, the Lord has told us to examine ourselves, inspect ourselves, and see where we are in our faith. Well, this morning, you know, I believe in the church. I believe in our pastors the Lord has given us. I believe in our leadership. I believe in our people. Amen. Because the Lord has blessed us here. And Brother Jerry, there's times that we can be in so much turmoil on the outside, it starts to affect us on the inside. And that happens with the church too. You know, folks can be battling sickness in the home or just things going on, and all of a sudden there's tension and you know, things start popping up in the church that's not meant to be there. But I'm telling you, if we'll come to the altar this morning and ask the Lord, God, give me a fresh relationship with you, a fresh touch from you, a fresh encounter with your Spirit. God, revive me. We sang about that this morning. Revive me again. Lord, if I've not been thankful for the church in a little while, help me to remember things that would help me to be thankful. Because when we have a heart of thanksgiving towards being a part of the kingdom of God, that heart of thanksgiving will lead us to do things to expand the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be a part of the church this morning? If you're not a believer this morning, I want you to know something. You are loved by an almighty God. Amen. And you're welcome. Amen. He wants to change us. Change you. And this morning, whether you're here inside Union Pentecostal Church, or maybe you're listening online at home or wherever you are, you can become part of the church, that body of believers right now. Amen. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you to come. We use these steps here as an altar. If you come, I guarantee you there will be other believers that will be here to pray with you. Is there anyone this morning you'd say, Pastor Brian, I need to be a part of the church. And by that I mean I need to be a part of the family of God. I want to be changed. I want to serve Him. Is there anyone this morning you'd say, I need Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, church. Amen. I love saying that. I love being a part of this body. Church, can we find a place to pray? You know, if there's anything in our lives that are hindering this fellowship, you know, there might be a hurt feeling or something this morning. I just feel led to say this. If there's something that's going on, won't you just ask the Lord to help you take care of it so that we as the body can come together and glorify God and do the work of God. Amen. Let's come pray this morning. Let's come find a place to pray and just glean in His presence. Hallelujah. Lord, I love You. Thank You for this church. Oh, thank You for the youth group. Thank You for our elders, Lord. Thank You for our adults, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, thank You for our children. Lord, thank You for allowing us to be a part of this body. Glory to God. Glory to God.